Welcome to another episode of Hustle Hard, the podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Witt, and I believe that success should be earned and not given. And if you do too, but you're currently underachieving personally or professionally, for one reason or another, then the athletes, entertainers, and fitness experts I interview can motivate you today to do more tomorrow, because they've dedicated their lives day after day and year after year to achieving their goals. So be inspired, take their behaviours and apply their principles to improve your life, physically, mentally, at home or at work. Joining me this week, he was the golden boy of British boxing, but injury forced him into retirement, leaving his world title dream in ruins and his life in tatters. After countless operations, mounting debts and bouts of depression, the Olympian became the worst version of himself, bitter towards those able to do what he couldn't. But after overcoming his struggles physically and mentally, he's enjoying a new lease of life as an entrepreneur, wrestler and podcaster, where he'll tell you himself that the path to success is often paved with setbacks, but the key is to never give up. Anthony Ogogo, the governor, welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
I'm good, mate. What's happening?
All good, mate. No, all good, and all the better for seeing you as well. Appreciate you taking the time, man. Obviously, I've seen that you're a super busy man these days. There's lots going on.
Mate, honestly, I wish I could. It's the world of business. Somebody the other day said to me, this is what I miss most about boxing. I used to say, it used to be like, you know, fight night, the nerves before a fight, or like when you win a big fight, when you like little things, little, it sounds really violent, but any boxer would understand. When you're boxing somebody and you hit him, and that first trickle of blood comes out of the nose. Honestly, mate, to a boxer, that's porn. The small things I really miss, so I'm never going to, I mean, I hope in a nice way, I hope I never get this again, because if I hit somebody and I bust their nose or wobble their leg, that's not in the world, that's not the world I'm in anymore. Like, I shouldn't be doing that, you know, I hope never to do that again. But there are things I really miss, but that was always the my initial response. What do I miss most about boxing? Now, being in, like, as an entrepreneur now and being in the world of business, I miss how it's not just me anymore. Like, I can trust myself. I back myself. I know I'll work my ass off. I'll know if something needs to get done, I'm going to get it done. And I know I operate at a really high level. So if something needs doing, it's going to get done. I can trust myself. Mm. But unfortunately, when you're doing other things like I do now, you know, you have to rely on other people. Like my app, like my Ogogo Fitness, I've just launched, right? And I'm sure we'll talk about it. Like, I've got to rely on other people, the tech team, to do this. I can't do that. It's like, I just get unbelievably frustrated. And obviously, I've got to remember that, like, this means more to me. This is my life. It's a job for them. So like, I get frustrated. But yeah, man, like, I'm very busy because I'm not the best at handing over control. Just because, and this isn't everybody. Some people I work with, some absolute experts in my life. I've got some experts on my team. But, you know, I just trust myself to do things the way I want to do them, you know. So I'm very, very busy. But it's very nice to take it. And now I start my day to talk to you, mate.
Sweet. You obviously touched on the boxing then and everything. Do you, you know, you are a super busy man, as I said, with the entrepreneurial stuff going on and everything. Do you still keep up with all the latest boxing news and follow the sport religiously?
No, not religiously, nah. My ending was really... it was really bitter. For example, I haven't boxed now for, you know, a number, 2016, goodness me, 8 years? My last fight was 8 years ago. Wow. 2016. That doesn't seem real. And I woke up today, like most days, my left eye, which is the eye I've damaged, I can barely see out of it anyway. I wake up, it's always sore, it's always inflamed, it looks nasty, like, I've got to wake up. I had a meeting today. I'm in the US now. I live in the new. I'm back and forth London and America. Had a meeting today at 8 a.m., which is 1 p.m. at home, and I had to wake up at 6:30 to make sure my eyes like looked presentable to take a FaceTime meeting because my eyes just really sore. So and looks would look bad. So with that being said, my ending to my boxing career is really difficult. It's really hard. And I try to stay away from it now, to be honest with you, because I'm not quite there yet. It's one of those ones where it's not avoidance. I'm not avoiding it. I guess I am avoiding it. But it's not like I'm just living my life. Yeah. And ultimately, I'm not a boxer anymore. But I'm not going to lie, sitting watching a Joshua fight or a Fury fight, George Groves fight, like, you know, it does evoke an unpleasant feeling in me. Or someone like a John Ryder. Now, I like John Ryder, and I've got to be very careful because I've said things in the past and it's kind of misconstrued in a bad way. Mm-hmm. I like John Ryder. John Ryder's a really good fighter, but watching him get world title fights that I never got is hard because John's really good, but, you know, I never got to that level because of my injuries. Callum Smith, who on the Great Britain, better way to put it, Callum Smith on the Great Britain team is my reserve. He was a number two middleweight.
Mm.
And he went on to have an amazing career. I'm really happy for Callum and his family. Really proud of him, did unbelievably well. And that was my level. And he fought for the world title 2 months ago, 1 month ago, a couple of months ago.
Yeah. Yep.
I never got to that level. So it's just hard, man. It's, you know, I'm not going to lie. You know, it does feel me with a little bit of bitterness. But on the flip side, I can either be bitter or I can be better. If I want the life I never got from boxing, I'll go out and work my ass off and get it. And that's what I'm doing now as a wrestler, as a fitness entrepreneur, as an actor, podcaster.
Absolute fitness guru.
Well, I didn't want to say the word guru, but if you want to say it, I'm not going to say no. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
the reason I asked you is obviously because we have got Paris coming up. And, you know, Delicious Aura is obviously the super heavyweight. I was just thinking, do you think there's any chance the Team GB squad and the people that are going to be going can replicate what you and AJ did back in 2012? Because look,
I hope so. You asked me, I remember when I was, you mentioned about being obsessed. I was obsessed with boxing. You used the word religious. I was religious with boxing. I knew everything. I knew every weight category. I knew the top 5, 10, 15 players in every weight. Not even in my own weight. I was obsessed with boxing. Can they replicate it? I don't know, because I don't know what the state of boxing is at the minute. I don't know how good the Kazakhs are, how good the Ukrainians are, how good the Russians are, if the Americans are making a comeback or not. I don't know what the Olympic boxing is like. I say Olympic boxing rather than amateur boxing. People think they're amateur. They think, oh, it's not as good as the pros. No, that's, so I say Olympic boxing because, I mean, they're the best boxers in the world. Like the boxers, Kazakhs, Ukrainians, Russians, like I mentioned, Cubans, they are the best boxers in the world, better than most pro boxers. And professional boxing is the least professional sport in the world. It's ridiculous, honestly. It's weird. So, like, I say I'm gonna say Olympic boxing rather than amateur boxing. But, yeah, I mean, can they? I hope they can. They've got great coaches on the GB squad. Some, I think, are still there from when I was there. I'm sure they've got new ones as well. Yeah, I'm sure they'll do really well.
Yeah, I mean, the Delicious Aura in particular, there seems to be a lot of noise around him at the moment. And I've just... You know, if he does go to Paris and do very well, maybe gets a medal or something, there's going to be calls for him to go pro and stuff, isn't there? Like, pretty much in a way that you know, after the Olympics, you obviously went pro. And I think, am I right in saying that you became like the most sponsored boxer in the world at one point?
Yeah.
Like, night deals, Coca-Cola, Subway, all sorts. I'm just saying, like, if he did go pro, what sort of advice would you be giving to him, having been in the limelight after the Olympics yourself?
Enjoy it. I hope he's got him and everybody else, like, have a nice, like, strong core people around you, because people come in and they see maybe as a pound sign rather than
this is why I mention the brand deals and stuff, because there's going to be people that maybe wanted to keep his feet on the ground and maybe stay in the Olympic scene, shall we say, or go pro. Like, and I just think, well, why would you not go pro if people are going to chuck all this dough at you and you're going to get fame and adulation?
It's more than just a fame and adulation, isn't it? It's more the reason why I didn't stay amateur, because my mum was very unwell during London 2012. Mum was in a coma for the whole time after brain aneurysm. And I didn't want to, and at this point, there's no, when I turned pro, I think I signed my deal like in September, we announced it in December. What did I sign? I signed this in December, we announced it straight away, but I was in talks from September. And my mum didn't come out of a coma until back end September, October. We had no idea if she was going to live until, you know, and what quality of life she was going to have. So for me, I'd kind of mix the Olympics and my mum's illness together. And I didn't want to spend another 4 years and get to Rio Olympics as it was 2016 and be reminded of all the horribleness that I felt at that time. I was never fussed about turning pro. My whole thing was the Olympic Games. And... would I turn pro? I don't know. I mean, it's all ifs and buts. I mean, I did turn pro. My career was ravaged by injury, even cut short by an injury. But, yeah, I mean, going back to your original question, is what I would say to, you know, the boys and girls that may turn pro after Paris is, you know, just keep your feet on the ground, because it is easy to get kind of like wrapped up in the hullabaloo, and it's a proper hullabaloo.
Yeah.
You might get like money thrown at you, but just to stay focused really and remember why you got into it. Like, you know, why get into boxing to become a world champion, not to become a superstar. And ultimately, and something I always say in anything, and when I go and do like my motivational speaking around the world now, I talk about if you're good enough, and you mentioned like the money, fame, and adulation. If you're good enough, the money, fame, and adulation, that's going to come anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're good enough. You shouldn't go chasing that stuff. No, I'm not saying I did. I never did. I kept my feet on the ground. I had good people around me. But I'll just say keep your feet on the ground, work hard, remember why you got into it. And I just hope you've got good people around you to remind you who you are. Like, I was always the kid from a small town. I never got too big for my roots.
Tell me about a Go-Go Fitness.
I've always been very good at sport. I've always been, and I'm very driven, very motivated. I work very hard. And I know some people aren't the most athletically gifted, or they find a motivation, they find it very hard. So two things I'm naturally blessed to have, my drive and determination and my motivation. And I'm quite smart as well, so I understand like the human physiology. I've combined this to make what I believe is the, or will be, the most comprehensive and best fitness app in the world, a Go-Go Fitness. And John, I'm really proud of it. I've worked all year. I got to a place in my life where boxing was all about me, wrestling's about me, everything I did was about me. And I got to, you know, early stages of 30, and wanted to do, and I started doing a podcast. As you know from podcasts, mate, like, it's really hard. You put a lot of work in it, and you get nothing from it. I'm not having to earn a penny for my podcast. Mm. I really enjoy putting positivity out into the world, inspiring stories out into the world. My podcast, Getting Back Up, I talk to people with like, no, gone through shit basically, and they've turned their life around, and this shit has been the best thing to happen to them. People that have, you know, yeah, inspiring stories, right? People that have lost their wife and children on the cusp of ending their life, and fell back in love, and now they're happier than ever been. No, it's just really happy and positively inspiring, hopeful stories, and that made me feel so good about myself. And didn't earn a penny from it, but I earned good money from boxing. But I often felt a bit shit and not great. But when I serve people, help people, I feel really good. And this is my app. This is what it does. Gives me a chance to, you know, package up all the things that I'm naturally good at: fitness, drive, determination, motivation, and giving it to people really low price and helping them. And the results I've had is just amazing, mate. People have lost loads of weight, feel really good about themselves, and I'm just yeah. I'm just really happy. I'm really happy that I'm really proud of what I've done. The app isn't just press ups and punches. I teach people how the body works. Then when you know how the body works, you can make the body work for you.
Brilliant. Acting. You've got a film on the way. What's going on there? Because this was something that I didn't know until the other day.
Yeah, man. So I've got a couple. So I've done a couple.
Why do you laugh when you talk about it?
It's just funny, isn't it? It's just funny. I mean, I just love performing. Love performing, and that's what I miss from boxing. I miss, like, I've been everything about it, the press conference, the way.
Well, you're acting when you're wrestling as well, aren't you? Essentially.
Yeah. It's wrestling is the coming together of. I say this to people. If people don't understand what wrestling is, I say it's three things. It's the coming together of three things. It's like the West End or Broadway. It's like the theatre. Right, where in the theatre you tell stories, the actors tell stories with their bodies and their voice, song. It's the West End, right? But it's not really, because it's kind of like a sport. It's like boxing or mixed martial arts, because like we have like world title belts, we have like press conferences, and it's presented like MMA. So it's theatre and MMA. It's also EastEnders.
It's like a physical soap opera, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, because it's weekly episodic and we have storylines.
Yeah.
And it's the telling a story of the bodies. It's the presented like a sport, weekly episodic. If you like sport, there's some sporty stuff. If you like theatre, there's theatrics. If you like EastEnders or Corrie or Hollyoaks, there's drama. There's continuations of storylines. There's something there for everybody. There's a bit of comedy. There's some funny stuff. Now, the thing with wrestling, very different to, similar but different to a lot of different stuff, you can train. You can train as much as you want. But you only really learn by performing. you only learn by repping, working in the ring. You can do all the, once you know how to wrestle, you know how to wrestle. But there's three people in the wrestling match. There's you, there's your opponent, and there's the fans. And you have no idea how the fans are going to react because they're different fans all the time. Mm. Fans, you can have the same fans, but they could be feeling different. Maybe maybe it took them an hour to get there rather than 20 minutes, and they're a bit pissed off, and they want to cheer for the bad guy. You know, there's loads of things, components go into it.
We've got the big Wembley card again coming up. Is that a tangible goal for you this year, do you think, for AEW, to get you on that card?
I think so. I think I had a really cool spot last year. We did a thing in the ring where it's me and the Big Show. Everyone knows the Big Show. Captain Insano from Waterboy in the 90s. Everyone knows the Big Show. Me and him and another guy called Grado, we were in the ring, did something with Jeff Jarrett, one of the most famous wrestlers in the world, 10-time world champion. Jeff Jarrett, for those who don't know, is a wrestling legend.
I used to hate him. He's got the guitar in it. He used to smash it over people's heads.
Yeah. The thing about Jeff Jarrett, nicest guy in the world. The thing about Jeff Jarrett as well, he's like, used to hate him, and he gets off on that. Like, that's his job. And I never understood, when I was a wrestling fan as a kid, I never understood this, but like, I used to hate people. Oh, he's rubbish. He's not rubbish. He's really good. Let me think. Dean Malenko, right? Obviously, the wrestling fan, Dean Malenko. I got told this once. When I was a wrestling fan as a kid, I used to hate Dean Malenko. I thought he was boring.
I used to hate him.
He's small than everybody else. He's boring. Doesn't do anything that great. Oh, I don't like him. Dean Malenko can do everything. Mm. There's not a move this man cannot do.
He's got an amazing reputation within the business, hasn't he? As like an amazing trainer and actual wrestler and stuff. He's like highly regarded, isn't he?
Mate, the highest. The most respected. Yeah, yeah. And as well as that, unbelievably funny. So witty. Like, he'll come in, say a joke and go, and everyone's like laughing for 10 minutes. He's so funny. And it's like, why is a wrestler, why are you not this, so charismatic, why are you not this charismatic, funny man who can do all the moves? He went, because I was a bad guy. And if you do good moves, people want to cheer you. So he intentionally wrestled boring and dumbed down his personality to make you and me dislike him. And it worked. So Jeff Jarrett was the same. Like, my mom was like, why do you want people to boo you? I'm like, that's my job. And that's a great thing, get to play people's emotions and, you know, make them cheer, make them boo and manipulate the way they feel. And it's a real special connection, you know.
What is the dream for you now, given that you obviously were forced to retire from boxing? Is it a fitness guru? Is it acting? Is it showbiz? You've obviously dabbled in Strictly and SAS and everything. Or is it wrestling? Or are you just winging it and see what happens? Like, would if the WWE ever did come calling, would that be of interest one day? Like, what is the dream for you now?
Well, I actually had a choice on WWE. I had a choice, actually, when I went to become a professional wrestler. They invited me for a tryout, and I went to WWE and I did a tryout, and it went really, really well. But I got introduced to Cody Rhodes, who was at AEW at the time, and that seemed the right fit for me at that time. So I joined AEW. So I kind of had a choice, really, and I chose AEW because you know, the dream, that the vision that was sold to me, kind of thing. What success to me now? Good question. When I retired from boxing, I felt like my world ended. I boxing, and you mentioned I'd done Strictly. I did Strictly because I was out for a year of my Achilles. I had four surgeries on my Achilles. You mentioned my injuries as well. I came back, my first fight back, I boxed in Germany, and I dislocated my shoulder. I was out for 10 more months. I hadn't earned any money in 2 years. And I had to keep
just on the money thing. Sorry to interrupt. Didn't you at one point have to remortgage your house as well? Just so everyone knows the struggles that you've actually been through.
Yeah, man. I never got to that level. I never got to the Joshua Tyson Fury, George Groves level. Never got there at all. Like, at all. People couldn't. And I did remortgage my house. I sold my car to pay for surgeries that ultimately didn't work.
Obviously, but everything with your mum as well going on. It's a lot to deal with, isn't it?
Mate, it was brutal. Right now, in my life, I mentioned something the other day. Right now, I'm not playing the violin because, you know, who cares? I can't play it very well anyway. And who cares? Everyone's got their own battles going on. But right now, I spoke to somebody and they said to me, a friend of mine, an older friend, he's in his 70s, lovely, lovely guy, really wise, wonderful guy. I call him for advice sometimes. He said to me, and he doesn't know anything that's going on. There's a big thing he doesn't know about at the minute. He said to me, list the top 10 most stressful things in someone's life that they go through. He said, right now, you've got six of them going on. I've actually got more than six. Right now, right? He said, give yourself a break. So I was a bit down that day. Give yourself a break, mate. You know, divorces, moving house in two countries. You know, it was like set up a business, set up two businesses, other things as well. It's like there's loads going on. And there's always a reason to play the violin, and I choose a reason to not, and I choose a reason now. I haven't always. When I hurt my eye, I was, if there was somebody that didn't know my story, I'd go tell them my story. I'd go, woe is me. I'd play the violin. I'd get the cello out and start playing. And I realized that that's not conducive. That's not the life I want to live. You know, I want to be happy and positive. But going back to the TV stuff I've done, 2015, I did Strictly. I dislocated my shoulder. I was out for an X amount of period of time. They wanted me to do it for the previous 2 years. And I said yes with my arm in a sling because it was a lot of money. It was good money. And I couldn't box. Mm. And I had to do something to make, you can't show the mortgage man, hey, he's my Olympic medal, don't charge me this month. Still got to pay your bills, yeah. You know. So I did that and, you know, whatever. Because that's a show you do when you retire. And I was so driven to be a boxer. But I had to, you know, make ends meet somewhere and raise my profile. What's success to me? Success, going, so what I was saying about boxing, I retired from boxing and I lost everything. I felt like I lost my life. And I, as I mentioned, I went through a deep, deep, dark depression. I was in a really bad place in my life. And boxing,
I've heard you say that you was like even suicidal at one point.
Man, it was, I don't really want to go down that road today because, you know, this is not what it's about. This is a positive, uplifting story, I hope. And that's the thing, changing, reframing my story to inspire and motivate rather than to people go, oh, we had it tough. Guess what? We all have it tough. Guess what? It's hard. Life is hard. Do we cry about it or do we crack on and get the thing? And that's the thing, my podcast, my app is all about that, like channeling what to do. So ultimately, I didn't put all my eggs into one basket like I did with boxing. So now I want a different thing, but helping people live better lives, become fitter, healthier, mentally and physically stronger. I've still got a hand left. I can still help myself. I still have things I want to do. I enjoy wrestling. I enjoy performing. I enjoy traveling the world wrestling and getting in the ring and being a good guy, a bad guy. I enjoy that. It's fun. I like it. I enjoy my podcast. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy when I'm in your situation, talking to people, hearing people's stories. And I love people saying to me, oof, that's a good question. Or, oh, I've got to think of that one. Even athletes, people like George Groves and, you know, Tony Bell use that, have done a million interviews. When they go, God, never had that one before. When they say that, I mean it because, like, I can, you know, I've been through my own stuff in my life. So I know where to kind of, my buttons to press to get certain reactions out. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy, like, putting goodness out into the world. And I want to do more acting. I really enjoy performing. It's a challenge. It's hard. Acting is unbelievably hard. It's way more than just learning lines. It's so hard. It's tough. And I really enjoy the challenge. I enjoy it. But the main thing, I think, is my fitness. I think if one thing is going to take off in the next 10 years, I think is that I hope it's the fitness because that ticks both boxes. I get significance. I get seen in a way and I want to get to a level I never got to in boxing because of the injuries. But I also get to help people. Someone said to me the other day, I said, what's success to you? Because I often ask that question on my podcast. And someone said, having the freedom to do what I want when I want. I like that. Just want to go here today. Want to go there today. Having enough. And I'm like, don't get on that. You know, I want to obviously earn good money because, of course, who doesn't? The more money you have, the more you can do. Of course, but that's not a be-all and end-all to me. But having enough to go, I haven't got to do such and such. I can if I want to, but I haven't got to. That's the thing. Like, you know, we're only alive for a short time, 70, 80, 90 years maybe. You know, the back end of that, we'll probably get, me and my injuries, like you said, I wake up now, my back is sore, my knee is sore, my shoulder is sore, my eye is sore. I wake up every day, something is sore, right? And that's cool because I've lived a great life and I see these wounds as like experiences and I'm very lucky I've got a bad, I look at it, I could be upset, I'm blind in my left eye, or I could be happy because I had an amazing career, wonderful experiences. And I went blind in my left eye at the end. Yeah, that's a bit shit. But God, the journey up until that was unbelievable. So I look at it that way. And it's like, I can't remember what point I was going to make. I was making a point then about being appreciative of what we have. But yeah, essentially, mate, happiness, success to me is doing what I want to do when I want to do it. And I like doing my podcast. I like doing the fitness stuff. I like doing wrestling. I like doing acting. You're only alive for a short time. You may as well do things you like. That's the way I do it.
So it's just a case of staying tuned then, isn't it? Because you've got all sorts going on. So I look forward to seeing you grow on your journey even further. But, you know, you have been through a lot of shit, haven't you? Like, how many surgeries have you had? I think you've had like 20 just on your face.
20? Oh, no. 20 altogether, no. Last time I counted, it was 21. I had one last year. I can't remember if it was 21 or 22 now, but it's 20-something. I've been saying 20 now for the last 4 or 5 years, and I know it's more than 20, but I just said 20. And if I stop and think, I mean, what, 10 on my face, 10 on my eye, 3 on my 13, 16, 20 Achilles, 21. So 21 without even thinking about it, and there's just the main ones. There might be one or two others as well.
The reason I bring it up is for anybody that's listening to this, you go on Anthony's Instagram. He's got videos on there of the actual eye surgeries he's had. And then there's other videos on there of why one of his arms, because he's got nerve damage, one of his arms looks like a little boy's arm when he's a grown man, and the other arm's absolutely huge because he had nerve damage and couldn't use it for months and months. And
so that's when I did Strictly. So when I did Strictly, my arm's in a sling. That they said to me I could dance with my arm in a sling. Then on show day, they said to me, oh, it looks weird, take the sling off. And my arm's just hanging there. And that was after Strictly.
I couldn't believe how small it actually was.
And it's even worse than that. That picture, I've got, if you look at that, zoom into that picture, there's a tiny bit of muscle bulk at the bottom. There's a tiny bit of curve, a bit of curvature where the muscle's going. There wasn't that. When I did Strictly, I couldn't even spin around. My arm would flop. I could not. He said nerve damage. I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't even bend. I couldn't even bicep curl my own arm. It was brutal, man. So yeah, it was. Yeah, I've had it rough.
That's the point I'm trying to make. So you know, you're a professional athlete. It's all you had going on back then was your boxing career and dreams of being world champion, et cetera, et cetera. And you keep having these constant setbacks, not just with your injuries and stuff as well, but like you say, your mum, your money struggles and stuff when we knew that you might not be able to return to the ring and everything. But you've overcome all of it, haven't you? And you genuinely seem like you're in such an amazing place, physically and mentally, shall we say. Do you think, you know, because there were times where you've really, really struggled, as we've touched on, but do you think you developed like a thick skin without even knowing, because of where you grew up and how you grew up and stuff? I know that you've spoke about how your dad wasn't around so much when you was a kid and you were a victim of racism and stuff like that. Do you think, unbeknownst to you back then, that was like laying the groundwork for developing this mindset you've got now?
Yeah, possibly. I've never really gone back and psychoanalyzed myself. What I would say on that is, I had a difficult upbringing and it was hard. My dad wasn't around. Not when he was around, he was very violent, and he wasn't a wonderful man, terrible dad, awful husband. I never got to see the wonderfulness, but I heard a lot about it. Mm. But I guess before we touch upon that one, you mentioned about I'm in a good place. No, I am, but I choose to be. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I had a bit of a, actually, do you know what, this week, I'm going to mention this, something I've always struggled with. This week, I probably said goodbye to my oldest friendship, 31 years. So we best mates, we were 4 years old, about 16, 17, and then one of my really, really close mates. And I've kept them around because I haven't wanted to let go of the nostalgia and the history. And we've had arguments last, every 4 or 5 years, a big argument, big one, a really big one. And he's actually meant to come out to visit me in the US and then decided against. And then, but there was a bit of a dick about it, a huge dick about it. And I was like, do you know what, man? I'm done. I don't need this in my life. Every few years we have this thing. And I told him how I felt, very openly, honestly. And he acted, the issues I had with him, he acted in that response, as he had in the text in him. I go, well, I'm cool. I'm actually cool. And as the first time, I've struggled with letting go of my boxing career and certain things personally to my life and people in my life, really struggled to let go. And last week is the first, this week, this last week just gone, I was like, I'm all right. Well, I never thought I'd say that. It doesn't add to my life. And essentially it's about, the point I'm trying to make is about, I'm in a place in my life now where I could list a list as long as bloody, you know, this tripod next to me all the shit things in my life right now. I could list it and elaborate and go into detail. And I've got a lot of stuff going on. I mentioned a minute ago, there's 6-7 of the biggest things, most stressful things in life I'm dealing with right now. Who gives a fuck? Who cares? Like, who cares? Because I'm sure you've got your own stuff going on. And I've seen you got a tattoo on your finger, I presume you're married. I'm sure your missus has as well, or your family, or this, or kids, or parents, whatever. Like, everyone's got stuff going on. And guess what? There's always, and my sister said to me when I was going through my divorce, she was like, oh, it was really hard. Like, you know, I was trying to kind of like get my, I struggled really bad, mate. I was like, I didn't want to let go of this thing that I love so much and been together for so young. And I said to my sister that, like, there's been a litany of things that have affected mine and my wife's life. A litany, so many big things, big dress. Like you mentioned, the injuries, the this, the that. I've had a lot of bad luck in a short space of time. And then my sister said, yeah, I know. And my sister loves my wife. But she went, but the thing about life, there's always big things are going to happen. There's always going to be big things happening. There's always going to be stuff going on. And it's about, and there's a quote of just, you know, it's not about waiting for the storm to pass, but learn to dance in the rain. And that's the thing. I've never said that before. It was just coming to me as I was saying that. It was one of those ones where, like, shit, things going to happen. You can't stay in the all the time. You've got to learn to deal with it. Got to figure it out. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm dealing with it. I'm figuring out, whereas before, I'd let them, like, kind of, like, just weigh me down. And actually, like, full circle, I'm saying this as I think it, comes back to the very beginning. I said to you about mental fitness. That's having the ability to be able to, the robustness, being able to kind of deal with life challenges on a daily basis and not let them drown you. Well, I guess this is what I'm doing. And I had no idea I was going to say this today, but I guess I'm dealing with the daily challenges.
Rolling with the punches.
Mate, rolling with the punches. All you can do in life. In life, punches are always going to come.
And that's why I want you on this podcast, mate. That's what it's all about. I know you've spoken a bit as well about never having had a normal job before, should we say. But a lot of what you will have learned in your early years boxing, for example, in terms of how you behaved every day, your daily routines, the work ethic and the discipline that you developed to get to the level that you did, they are all transferable life skills, aren't they? They've clearly helped you and would help anybody with a normal job.
First sport I did, I was a swimmer, and swimming taught me about winning. Like, swimming taught me that if I worked hard in the pool, although I found that really boring, like, it's you in the lane of eight people, look left, look right, swim, look left, look right. You can see if you're winning. You can see if you're losing. You can see where you are, and you got to go hard. And the work ethic. I learned my work ethic, I think, from swimming. Again, up before school, early 2-3 days a week before school, swimming, going back in the pool after school, working hard at school. I was quite good at school. I was quite clever at school as well, so I was quite intelligent. So, like, I just liked winning. I loved it. So when I started boxing when I was 12, like, boxing taught me about life. Like, I already had the work ethic. Boxing taught me about life. Sometimes life can be unfair. Swimming is not subjective. It's like running, like 100 meters. If you, when the gun goes off, if you cross that finish line first, you win. As long as you didn't cheat or, you know, get a false start, you win. Now, unfortunately, life isn't like that. Wish it was. Wish it was done on merit, but it's not. It's not, a lot of it's subjective. Now, boxing taught me so much about that. Boxing taught me sometimes you can be the best. You can train the hardest, but not be the best. Sometimes, and that's again, it sucks, but that's the case sometimes. The unfairness, you can box really well, but get robbed. You know, that's not fair. You can be the best person, you get overlooked on the England team, could pick somebody else. So, like, you learn a lot about boxing. Also, you learn. I encourage everybody. I'm all for white collar boxing. A lot of people don't like white collar boxing. I like it because I think everyone in their life should do a boxing match at least once, just once, just to see if they like it. And I think when everyone comes gets respect. It's not about getting respect for the sport. Everyone knows boxing's hard and it's a really respectful sport. It's not about that. It's about learning about yourself. Like, when you're under the cosh, getting pummeled in the corner, do you spit the gumshot out and quit, go down to a knee? Or do you think, do you know what, fuck you, I'm going to have some of this, bite the gumshot and just punch back? And you learn a lot about yourself in life. And I think what you do in a boxing match, I say oftentimes boxing is a snapshot of life. Like, what you do in a boxing or in a training camp echoes throughout your life, I think. And I think one would learn a lot about himself in a boxing match, or a training camp, or even just a spa. You know, you learn a lot about yourself. So, yeah, boxing taught me life.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, with this podcast, I'm interviewing a lot of elite athletes, because I genuinely think they can provide like a solid blueprint for success for anybody, no matter what they're trying to achieve, because of how they have to live their life to become elite. So, you know, when I hear you back that up essentially with those words, then it's true, isn't it? It is true.
I think there's two. Of course, there's more. Of course, each one has their own like little like spin-offs, like, you know, umbrellas to like a spokesman umbrella, so to speak. But for me, when I do a lot of my talking, obviously I change for whoever I'm talking to. But I think there's two things in life. There's working hard. And there's like no one's ever said, I wish I worked less hard.
You know? Yeah.
No one's ever like, or like stand on a podium and went, oh, I wish I didn't go to that training session. I wish I sacked off that one. No, you gotta work hard. And when I said there's more points of what does working hard mean? It's not only about working hard. As an athlete, you got to rest as well. You got to rest as hard as you work. I never learned that. I was old school, like work hard, hard, hence a lot of my injuries. But you got to work hard. There's no two ways about it. In a way, you got to put the work in. You got to be intentional. No point like working hard. There's no point if you've got to turn in a 20,000 word assignment. No point outside, no point cleaning the house from top to bottom. That's working hard, but it's not being intentional, right? So, but one, you got to work hard, and two, you got to believe in yourself. And this is the main one. If you believe in yourself, then nothing can stop you. If you believe in yourself and work hard, then nothing can stop you. I really believe. Now, it's hard to believe in yourself, and my belief came from my work ethic. So I worked really, 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 really hard, and I'd walk to the ring, and I knew that person I was boxing, no matter who it was, had not worked as hard as me. He didn't want it as bad as me. I knew that. So I got belief from that. And then when I believed in myself, I worked harder. So the two things fed into each other. And I think, it doesn't matter what it is, you're going to be like the best chef in your county. If you work hard and you believe in yourself, then you can be the best chef in your county. If you think, oh yeah, I'm never going to be as good as that person, then guess what? You're never going to be as good as that person. That's the two pillars to success in my not so humble opinion.
I've got a quote from you here, actually. It's a couple of years old now, and it's kind of on the same lines as what you're just saying. It's not about where you're from or where you've been. It's about where you're going. To be successful in life, you've got to believe you can do it, and you've got to work hard. So you've been living by this mantra for a long time now, haven't you? That is a great quote, and I think we've just got like a little remix of it there. Have you, just before we wrap up, have you got any more words of wisdom that you can share? Given the position you're in now with your entrepreneur, the wrestling, and everything that you're doing now, that could spark someone into action, shall we say?
Two bits. One, and I mentioned it once earlier when you asked me about the boxers going to Paris this year, and this goes to everybody, and that's something I'm still learning to do myself, and I say it now because I'm still learning. Enjoy the moments along the way, right? Because I wish I enjoyed my boxing career more than I did. I was so focused on becoming world champion, becoming world champion, becoming world champion. I was so focused on the end goal, I just forgot I was in it. I was in the moment. And somebody said to me, I'm going to butcher this quote, my friend Dr. Uter, a beautiful, wonderful German, friend of mine. We had a little chat recently, and I was a bit stressed out about stuff. Because I told you, I've got a million things to go on, and sometimes I get wound up a little bit. And it gets me. We had a little chat. She went to me, told me this little thing about how you're going to be so present, Bob. Basically, having a butterfly. She went, think, hold your hand out. I said, shut my eyes. Think of a butterfly on your hand. Tiny little feet. Kept saying, tiny feet. And she went, can you feel the butterfly's feet on your hand? And first I was like, oh, I can't feel it. She went, think, to feel it. Tiny little feet. And when I felt them on my hand, she went, that's been in the moment. Like being so still and calm, you can feel the butterfly's feet in your hand. So most of the time we're so in a rush to go somewhere and do this and do that and do that, we forget about the butterfly's feet. And so many times now, another one from Dr. Uta I'm going to say as well. So many times now it's like, I just think butterfly's feet. And I tell myself, just be so still in the present in the moment, I can feel the butterfly's feet in my hand. If you do that, you're going to enjoy the moment. She mentioned to me as well, Dr. Ute, UTE, lovely lady. She mentioned to me about joy. For happiness, it's a bit overrated. Like, we want to be happy. What does happy really mean? But joy, and she went to me, she, I'm not going to tell you her story, but she basically, one moment of her life, she felt a ray of sun on her face. And she was really sad at the time because something bad had happened. But that little ray of sun was a joyous thing for her. And whenever I now get a little beam around my sun on my face, I go, oh, joy, think of joy. Be like joyous in the moment. And I love that. And the last one, my little quote, and I watched a film the other day, and I wasn't going to say it, but I've been saying this recently. I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm going to find it on my phone quickly because I wrote it down. Vanilla Sky, Tom Cruise, Vanilla Sky, amazing film, I love it. And then there's I've looked at it a few times, and I thought it says, every passing minute is another chance to turn it all around. I was like, oh, I like that. Because we all make mistakes and do things wrong. Every passing minute is another chance to turn it all around. It's never too late. And the reason why I like that is because sometimes, in my experience, we have like a bad 5 minutes does make a shit day. And you can be having a bit of a bad day. Or, you know, you're rushing around, or someone bumps into you on the tube, or whatever. I'm having a bad day. I've had a really bad day today. Or you have got a normal day, a pleasant day. Then something happens, you come home, oh, I've had a bad day. No, you had a bad moment. But every passing moment, every passing minute, is another chance to turn it all around. You can start a day again from any time. You haven't got to let a bad day, letting a bad day, letting a bad moment or bad few minutes affect the rest of your day is mental weakness, weak fragility. Letting a small thing piss you off all day? Nah, I'm not letting some insignificant thing mess my day up. You never know how many days you've got, and there's only 300 odd in a year. And I don't know why I said 300 odd. I don't know, 365 in a year. I know exactly how many are. It wasn't me blanking. And then if you think about it, there's only 3,500 or so in 10 years. We haven't got loads of days. If you think about it, I'm not letting something ruin my day. My day is valuable. It's important to me. It's precious. So, and going back to the mental resilient thing, mental fitness thing, being resilient enough to not let little things affect your day. And if you do that, it's just happier. And then when you do die, whenever it's going to be, hopefully many, many, many years from now, you can look back and go, huh, my life is pretty awesome. I'm cool. I'm good to go now. And off you pop into whatever's next, if anything. So, yeah, man, that's my little closing statement. Yeah.
Wise words, mate. Love that. And it's a perfect place to end the podcast. So I appreciate you coming on, brother. I really enjoyed the chat.
Cheers, man. I wish you all the very best of the podcast. As I mentioned earlier, they're very hard. A lot of work goes into them, as you know. And man, I hope you do really well with it. And yeah, final little plug of the fitness app. And I'm plugging it because we know it helps people. And in my 6-week case study, I've had 12 people whose lives have literally been transformed. What the 7 minutes do? 7 minutes. I'm going to leave one little thing right to finish, just if you don't mind. 7 minutes, you can change your life in 7 minutes because it's baby steps. It's the building blocks. Mm-hmm. What you do in 7 minutes echoes throughout the rest of your day. And I say this. If you wake up and work out in the morning, and workouts are quite challenging, may have different levels of difficulty, of course. And you can, in my app, we didn't talk about this, but in my app, you can make your own workout. So loads of like minute clips of exercises. You can create your own playlists. You can create your own workout specifically for you and challenge yourself or have an easier day if you wish. So if you work hard 7 minutes and then you wake up, work out, go to work, and like at 10 a.m., the tea lady comes around. Oh, do you want a cup of tea, a donut? Now, if you haven't worked out, you might be more inclined to go, oh, yeah, okay, go on, why not? Then you have one, you have two, you have three, you have 10.
I know the feeling.
But if you work out in the morning, you might go, do you know what? No, I'm good. I've just worked on my body. I don't want to have the tea. When you miss one, you miss two, you miss two, you miss 10, you miss 10, you miss 100. And those 100 donuts alone, what's that going to do at the end of the year? And it's like, and the analogy I give is like when you're driving a car, if you're going to spend 20 quid to clean your car, you're probably not going to go and drive around the muddy field. You just cleaned your car. Or if maybe you clean your car yourself, actually, you put even more energy into it. You're going to like look after the car, especially for the next few days. Now keep it nice and clean. Same thing with your body. When you invest in your body, you're more likely to change your habits around your body, around your diet, you know. GoGoFitness.com, free 7-day trial. Check it out. Give it a go. It's very inexpensive, very affordable. loads of meals on there, loads of mental fitness content, loads of physical fitness content, and it's going to grow and grow and grow. I'm going to have new people on the app. Other athletes can come on and do workouts on their app. So on the app, so yoga's coming. We've got loads of mindfulness stuff. We've got different workouts. So yeah, people should go and give it a go and see what you can do in 7 minutes.
A go fitness. Get involved, people. Nice one, Ant. Appreciate you taking the time, bro.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to like, share, comment and subscribe. Follow Hustle Hard the podcast on Instagram. And if you have any suggestions on how you think I can improve the show or who you think I should be interviewing, then please drop me an email at ash.hustlehard@gmail.com. Nice one.